Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and joining me on the show this week, you have got Jimmy Skinner, Martin Navarro, and myself. What are we debating? We are mass debating. Fuck, I love saying that. We're debating the sequel. I know this is a hot topic for a lot of people, so right now I'm going to preface by saying we did not touch holy grails of film. Okay, we left all of the Back to the Futures and the Goonies out of this debate. This is for movies that we like, that we feel could do well with a sequel, that didn't end the story with enough conclusion for all of us. And maybe, who knows, you can make a franchise out of it. So we came up with a new pitch, a new plot, per se. The casting of said sequel, are we going to bring back the originals? Are we going to scrap it all together like Warner Brothers is doing these days and start from scratch and say, fuck the creatives, we don't care about all the work you've put in? Sorry, I'm still a little butthurt by that. And then also a couple points as to, why does it deserve a sequel? If we're going to dump $70 to $100 million into another movie, what's the point of all of this? So that's what's on the show. That's who's on the show for you this week, ladies and gentlemen. We have no updates for you in the housekeeping department. When we do, we will let you know. Easiest way to find out about those things, though, is subscribe to our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, anything that you can search the Real Debaters podcast in, something will come up. I highly suggest Instagram and or Facebook, not because I'm lazy and it's easy to post on both, but that's where the majority of everything we do and we want you to know about that we're going to do is posted. So with that said, find us, and then you don't have to listen to this shit. You can skip right to the show and not have to listen to me, you know, selflessly promoting all of the things. Anyway, point is, follow us, get to know us, join the debaterverse. I have nothing else for you, ladies and gentlemen, so without further ado, I will cue that real flick and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters. Welcome back to another episode. Welcome to the podcast that asks that question: what happens when real life meets real life? I'm one of your hosts, Michael Petro. Also in the room with me is...
Jimmy Skinner. But we watch Spider-Man, so something Spider-Man also.
And out on the coast is...
Lightly clothed licorice pizza.
I want that to be on a menu somewhere.
That's what we call Martin's nipples. The licorice pizza.
The licorice.
My areolas.
Yeah,
my pepperonis.
And they are black licorice.
See,
people.
We switched video
recording.
They're
dark licorice.
The licorice that's left in the bottom of the bag.
The nibs.
The nibs.
Martin's nibs.
Do Americans have nibs?
I don't know. I don't
is
know.
That a Canadian thing?
I don't know if it's a...
No, that's nips. Oh. Back to nips. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I've been drinking.
Nipples.
Martin's nipples and my burps. That's one way to start the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another episode. You are about to listen to...
What up?
A debate. We haven't done a debate.
We have a debate. We've been busy this summer. We've been doing things and live shows and coordinating live shows. It's just...
And it's the summer, too. Like, you know, when...
You're not listening anyways right now.
Yeah. It's the diehards are...
This will be here in the winter when you get back to it.
We're almost at the point where we notice that no one listens in the summer. We might as well just take the summer off.
Well, these episodes, people use these to catch up when they're getting back to work in the winter and they have nothing else to do outside.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I like...
I got a lot of real debaters to catch up on. Welcome back.
Welcome back after your summer of avoiding us.
We're in August right now.
I got to commute to work. I need something to listen to.
Listen to a summer real debate.
Let me try to drown the boss out. So
think summer thoughts during the winter. Summer thoughts during the winter.
Yeah,
summer this episodes, is real debaters.
I love it. There you go.
Yeehaw.
So the debate that's up for today, ladies and gentlemen, is best what needs a sequel.
Have we done this before?
I don't think we have.
Okay. I don't think so.
It's been in the backlog for
a
while.
It definitely has been. It's been talked about. It's been almost, but now it's being done.
That's right.
Easy premise to follow. Why? Doesn't even what's your plot, what's your pitch, who's being casted, and a couple of reasons why you think it deserves a sequel.
Yeah. Because
sometimes shit don't deserve a sequel. depending on, you know, I mean, like right now.
Bucky Larson 2.
Freddy Got Fingered 2.
No, well, that
Hot Rod the second.
You're talking about, you guys don't have the right idea. You're giving me, these are the movies that should exist.
So that's what we're going to get into this week, ladies and gentlemen. But before that happens, I'm going to, Jimmy.
Aliens 35, Predator 66.
My microphone stand here's fallen off the table. It's been a minute since we've been in the studio.
We're going to do what did you watch this week?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Thank you.
We're going to do that.
So, yeah.
What did we watch?
What did Jimmy watch? Jimmy, you go first.
I watched Prey, I think technically last week, but that's okay.
Doesn't matter when
I'm
going to
watch it again anyways.
I think that's going to be a continued watch for all of us.
Oh, Prey was fantastic. Directed by Dan Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
Sounds made up, but apparently he's a real guy. Starring Amber Midthunder as Naru, and it's just fantastic. Skilled Comanche warrior protects her tribe from a highly evolved alien predator, the Predator.
The Predator.
That hunts humans for sport. The OG Predator. My God, did they just nail everything that a Predator movie is supposed to be? Like, have you guys, you've seen this? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh my.
We did a little thing when Shauna got sick with the vid and Rob couldn't come over, so me and Martin did a solo, first time since ever.
Well, it was a duo. It was a duo.
It was a duo. It was.
I was Batman.
Yeah, I was Robin. Jason Todd.
Bruce Wayne.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
this movie
nails
everything that a Predator movie should be and is. It's a jungle type scenario, or at least the woods. I think they're in like
Pacific Northwest, maybe.
Yeah,
somewhere
Pacific
or
Northwest in America somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And even like it's basically a jungle, right? And even Predator 2 is the concrete jungle of Los Angeles.
There's always some jungle.
It doesn't have the humidity of the jungle, Jimmy. Let me just say that. Maybe not the humidity of the jungle, but it's still it's got trees.
It's got that LA heat.
Got Daddy Glover, come on.
Exactly. But it just goes back to its
roots.
Yeah. To sound as cliche as possible, it does. It goes right back to its roots, and it's exactly what a Predator movie needs to be. It's the first movie ever to have a complete subtitle in Comanche.
Yes.
Which is just awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think four different native tongues or indigenous tongues are used in the subtitle, but Comanche is the first to be ever done. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of
the violence?
Let's start there.
Awesome. Like, I don't want to spoil it for anyone at home, but he fights a snake. He fights a bear. He struggles. It's just good.
It's just
Ghetto Predator.
How about that throwback shot?
It's just
too
fresh.
Rips out the spine and the skull of the wolf.
Well, that's the trophy.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the trophy, right?
With the can of shit that like sprays and gets rid of all of the stuff on the skull, and then the skull goes on the hip and
that's right.
Off you go. But me and Martin were talking about it. Did you find it cool that he's so new?
It's fresh Predator.
It's fresh Predator. He doesn't know what the most.
Even his weapons are kind of basic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't was mentioning he doesn't have the what'd you call it, Martin?
The cannon, the shoulder cannon.
The shoulder cannon.
Plasma cannon on the shoulder, yeah.
He doesn't need them either.
No, he really doesn't. And what's really neat is watching a Comanche warrior stand up against the Predator. And it's the first time where I think we've seen she's not afraid. She sees this as, I believe, I can't remember what she calls it.
You will go no further.
Yeah, right? This is what she's supposed to say.
Oh, my God, that gave me tingles.
And how she roided out her weapon,
yeah.
Right? Where he's like, you need a rope to bring your weapon back to you? No, I need my rope to make my weapon more dangerous, asshole.
That's right.
Oh, no.
They just nailed it, man. They absolutely, there wasn't a single moment where I wasn't, again, another cliche, on the edge of my seat. Like, they just nailed it. I think they gave it 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I don't.
Well, and it also.
I like the callbacks. The callbacks were good.
Oh, my God. The net cannon that he fires that just squishes a person to death? How fucking awful and horrifying.
Predator 2, baby.
That?
Predator 2.
Hoo-wee.
How about when Predator comes out of the mud, just like Schwarzenegger does in
Amazing.
Predator 1?
Well, I like the twist that they did on it, because I thought they were going to go the muck route too, where he couldn't see through the muck.
Yep.
But they did it with the herb, the plant that she has. It cools
your
blood.
Yes, it cools
your
body.
So
yeah. Yeah.
And I love that. I love the little switch they did, because I didn't see that coming at all.
Well, and that's rooted in indigenous medicine, right?
Yeah.
Like bringing it back to who is this. Who is this tribe? Who is this person? What culture is this? And what methods did they have at this given time? Which then me and Martin both said, and then it just churned out throughout the week. I even posted it on Instagram. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a recording stamp date on the shit we did. But we all said, man, wouldn't it be fucking fun? He was like, wouldn't it be fun if if Predator was in like feudal Japan.
Fuck yeah. That's right? The whole thing. Take them. Do period pieces.
Right?
Jason in space hinted. Worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've hinted though at Japan though in Predator series before.
They have?
They've hinted at Japanese. Yeah, in the Lawrence Fishburne one. Adrian
oh, Predators,
one.
Yeah.
They had like the samurai, a little, yeah. Samurai stuff, so they also hinted that they captured samurai warriors.
You're absolutely right. Why can't these movies? Freddy Krueger in fucking Ye Old England.
As Jack the Ripper.
That would be fucking awesome. Like,
right?
I think.
Or what if Predator was Jack the Ripper?
That was, you know what? Kevin Smith made mention of that on this week's Fat Man. He's like, what if? And I'm like, you know what? The possibilities are endless because Predator's been here as long as we've been here.
That's right.
So he's been putting up with generation after generation of humanity and getting better as a warrior. So you can go anywhere with it. You can tell any story you want.
That's what I mean. And I think this is going to open the door for a lot of horror coming up.
Horror, sci-fi combination.
It's
horror
time.
Period sci-fi combination.
Every 10 years or so, horror gets a reboot, and they're bringing it back strong.
Anything you want to say to him, Martin, about it?
I just want to say this. One of my favorite memes that I've seen about the new Predator movie, or I guess Prey, was there's the Predator looking all sad, like he's just sitting on a log looking all sad, and then it goes, everyone says, if it bleeds, we can kill it, but no one says, if it bleeds, he can feel it.
Because he can.
He can feel. He has feelings.
He
does. You know?
He does. Like, and wow. Every Predator realizes that they have an equal, right? Like when he realizes who she is and how it carries on. And then there's that quick flash at the end where there's the spaceship and you're like, oh, where are we going with
she
this?
She brings his fucking head back.
Right? Like it just.
Watch the movie if you haven't.
Yeah. How
it's
many
on Disney Plus.
Of all weird places for it to be,
I know,
be, right?
Didn't see that coming.
And it also, like, a lot of people I was reading had words about why no theater run. Like, it's a completely cinematic experience.
It would have been fantastic.
It honestly is because in past history, Predator doesn't do well.
No, and I know. And I just...
Yeah.
But I had faith in this. I'll say it. I had faith in this from the fucking beginning.
You did. You did. Like when
I knew it was going to be good, and they did an excellent job.
No, they totally did.
There was no reason this couldn't have had a theater run.
As long as they don't fuck it up, they just got to stick with the same formula, give us some good acting, some good story.
I think the people who made it knew what they were giving us, and they knew it was a fantastic product, and it should have been delivered.
Give that team another movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan Trachtenberg, you've done some shit. I think he did something wild back in the day that, like, because Smith was talking about how they worked together on something.
Weird.
And I think he's come from, you know what it is? They used to have a podcast. They actually got Smith interested into podcasting. He wanted to be their third man, and they were like, no, we're good. So Smith started his own thing back in 07, and then Trachtenberg ran into him later on in life. He's like, I'm a director now. And he's like, awesome. So, like, he knows. He's seen this guy come from podcaster to fucking sci-fi genius director.
We'll find you. We'll get you there.
Yeah. Dan Trachtenberg,
we're
going to
get
talk
you
to
there,
us.
Mike.
Excuse me. That's the Faygo. Shout out to Insane Clown Posse for us getting access to your drink at GNL Sales in Winnipeg,
yeehaw.
Manitoba.
But, yeah, ooh. This is an easy 90% for me out of 100 for sure.
How many cute puppies that we never saw coming that continually make your heart grow two times bigger throughout the film do you give it?
Like it. Side.
How many
really...
bear traps? How many bear traps? Jimmy?
Yeah, there you go.
How many bear traps? They did not have a good view of the French in this movie at all.
The French are bad.
No, they did not.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll call.
How many French bear traps, Jimmy? Would you give it?
Like, it doesn't feel. It's like 4.7 out of 5.
Wow.
I don't know what they can do to make it 5, but like it's just so good and fantastic.
Some slight French nudity.
Yeah, a little bit of French nudes.
On OnlyFans. That's where they release next.
It was fantastic.
Great. Awesome. Yep. Fucking love it. All right. I'll go next because it's so fresh. I don't want to.
What'd you watch, Michael?
It's
fresh.
It's so
Jimmy.
Fresh and so clean. We've all seen it, pretty
fresh
sure.
Fresh was good.
It smells like Dove soap.
Fresh?
No. She-Hulk is my new... I got a big fucking crush on giant green women now.
Rock hard for She-Hulk.
Me too. She looks great as She-Hulk.
Oh, she does. Tatiana, that's her name, right? Tatiana something or other?
She's lovely.
She's lovely. She was Orphan Black, right?
That's funny because Orphan Black started coming up on Crave more.
Yeah, no, that's why.
That's really funny.
Yeah, no.
I was like, why is that trending in my...
That's exactly why.
Huh.
She's been killing it on the red carpet. She's like just this tiny little ball of joy. But first episode so far, I'm sucked into Hulk. I love the transfer, the off-ramp
of Bruce.
Did you
see it, Jimmy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't
okay.
going to skip this one.
Yeah. No. Spoiler alerts everywhere, everybody. If by the time this airs, you haven't seen it.
I like how they bring in, like, you know, Bruce right away.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I like about it. Like, give us someone we're familiar with so that we can, like, pass the torch eventually.
100%.
Which I'm like, 100%. I'm invested now. I like this.
And the idea of how she becomes one, like, I know in the films they test Rey's on, or in the comics, I believe she's tested on.
Yeah.
And gets that way. This is just, oops, the blood transfers during the accident.
Simple. Simple.
Super simple. Done. Mechanics. And then we get into the mechanics of Bruce and Tony's relationship.
Yeah.
Right? The little TS on the bar top. Like,
that's nice.
Those things were so nice to have, these little balls of yesteryear. And then eventually you can see him slowly. He's her Yoda.
Yeah.
You want to talk about
Big Green Yoda.
Big Green Yoda, right? And like,
that's funny.
And giving us exposition on why Hulks are the way they are and how Hulks need to control themselves and just all these things that Hulk never got in a story, we're getting through She-Hulk, I think.
Mm.
And she's a darling. The crossover between Ally McBeal meets She-Hulk is fucking fantastic.
Oh, that's great. just lawyer show.
That's what Daredevil was.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. Not Ally McBeal, but it was great.
I will let her carry me to bed whenever that's sent.
Single female lawyer.
Right? And then
having lots of sex.
But like the neat thing, Emily said this last night too, and I watched for it, and whatever. I'm white. My shit's been played all over the screen
Boy,
for eons,
are you.
Right? Like when you see other people's stories being told, I'm like, fuck yeah, way to go, Disney. And Disney's like, they inserted the line of like, I've been controlling my anger for a long time. When I get catcalled and when I'm alone by myself and when some asshole at work's trying to explain, like mansplain to me, I was like, way to go. Like, this is, we know where we are with this. This is going to be fun.
Yep.
And carry me to bed anytime. That's all I have to really say. Like, she can pick me up, throw me around.
Step on me, big woman.
I think my yes. fucking hall pass is.
Step on my nuts.
fucking crush my larynx. But yeah, I don't know. What did you guys think of it?
Oh,
I loved it.
Go, Martin. Go.
Oh, yeah. Fuck it. I said loved it because I like how we get, you know, we get some quality Bruce Banner screen time. But then we also get introduced to the new character, so I love that. Then the whole part is just the whole training aspect,
right?
Which was great, and girl. I like how it is. All this spilt my blood. Because when do we ever see Bruce really bleed? He never really bleeds,
never.
Right?
No.
So this is the first time he bleds. So they're like, oh, simple explanation. That makes sense. His blood gets transferred into an open wound. You know.
Well, and then talking about how that device on his arm was the reason he could be Bruce human.
Yep.
Yeah.
Instead of smart Hulk.
And then immediately it comes back to bite him in the ass.
Totally. Then he's
I like
smug
the pancakes.
Hulk.
The pancakes. Yeah. Again. It's like, hey, what, are you feeling bad? What can I get you? Pancakes. And then pancakes the next scene. Like, this is awesome.
Watching him do regular things is very satisfying. Like his Hulk size.
Yes. Grinding with the little grinder in his
fixing
hand.
Fixing his bar. It's all just very satisfying to watch.
And yeah, like I guess they can only use him so much because of rights. Like Universal owns the shit out of Hulk. They made a roller coaster we were talking
yes,
about.
Yes, they did.
So, you know, you can only use so much Hulk before you have to start paying Universal some dime for it. But yeah, and now we get to go off and I hear it's cameos galore, like jizzing cameos all day long.
I'm excited. Well, because we know the Daredevil one, but I wonder who else we're going to see.
Yeah,
wasn't a big fan of Miss Marvel. Like, I guess I wasn't not a big fan, but I just didn't really relate to Miss Marvel because the cast was too young for me to relate to.
I get it.
Just,
no, I get
kids,
it.
Right?
I feel creepy watching it.
I thought it was okay. Like, I thought it was good, but I'm like, I mean, it's cool to see, like, you know, the diversity in it. But for me, it's just the cast was too young. I'm like, oh, I'm just seeing kids. This. I mean, the only cast I'd like is Spider-Man when they, like, that's the only one.
It's different
because you've always wanted to be Spider-Man.
I still want to be Spider-Man, yeah.
Me too. Don't we all?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, I give it.
It left me wanting more, too.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait for Abomination. I can't. Yep. I'm sure.
How many Hulk-sized hangovers would you give it, Michael? Yeah.
I was going to say courtroom fight scenes. Because when Jameela shows up at the end and just like that flying Liu Kang kick across the screen and then she gets punched down, I'll give it 8 out of 10 middle fingers as I'm pushed off a cliff.
Yeah.
or 8 out of 10 almost fucks in the first episode, because when they talk about Captain America's virginity at the end, And she's like, yes, Captain America fought. And then they cut it. I'm like, okay, Disney, we all know that because we didn't hear the C and the K, that doesn't mean she didn't say it.
Someday. But someday they're going to be able to. They're saying
Dems
shit.
The laws. Dems the laws.
Well, they, if they rate it PG-13, they get one.
I know, but someday they'll just be able to say it whenever they want because nobody will care about swears.
That's true. Hopefully one day. Do you know the seven words you still can't say on television?
I don't think fuck and motherfucker should be two different ones. I think that's cheating.
Well, there's the list, which is shit, piss, cock. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
Yeah.
Fart, turd, and twat are like...
You can say tits now.
You can get away with
it. Ooh, I like fart.
Right?
That's my favorite. Fart.
That was just the genius of George Carlin. It. He did a live special, and then the cops showed up, and we're like, nope. We're gonna take it.
Doesn't
away.
Even make any sense.
Yeah, even though he was talking about them in exposition, it makes no fucking sense. Anyways, so yeah, there's my
Hulk
like,
out.
Yeah, Hulk out. And like anything else, yeah, no, that's I mean, we could. Jimmy, have you started Sandman yet?
No.
Oh,
I know. There's hundreds of things I need to watch. I'm watching Veep right now.
Oh, but that's so good.
I'm busy.
I've heard.
You should watch Sandman. I mean, I would drop everything and just watch Sandman.
I'm Hulk thunderclapping you right now.
Yeah. Drop everything and just watch Sandman, Jimmy.
All right.
You're doing yourself injustice.
I think you guys like fantasy a little more than I do.
You know what?
You don't have to like fantasy for Sandman. It's just, it's.
All right, I'll watch it. I'll watch.
We can't even explain it to you. I can't say Martin though to you. I'm closing in on the end. I'm just about to get to the serial conference, which I can't fucking wait for.
Great, that's one of my favorite parts in the graphic novel.
But the fucking shocker this week can't not be talked about. They dropped a random 11th episode.
Two in the pink, one in the stink. Baby.
Did you see that, Martin?
On thing on
there's
Sandman?
Another
no,
episode.
I did it.
Go back.
I gotta go. I gotta watch it.
No, they dropped another episode.
Just let me lose the okay. beat.
All right.
Sorry, you got me so excited, Michael. This is what happens. I'm an excitable boy.
A debate.
It's two books, editions like 25 and 28 or whatever. But it's got James McAvoy. It's okay. got Sandra Oh in it.
Okay.
It's about cats in one.
Okay.
Okay. No more. But we can't talk about it. I gotta go in fresh. I want to go in fresh.
They combine the two to make one new episode, and we're
you
like,
"You had your what we watch."
Actually,
you don't get two.
Sorry, Neil Gaiman's also in it too, as an animal. But
that's yeah. it. That's okay. it. No more.
All right.
Martin,
what
did you watch?
Martin, yeah, take me over.
I watched a lovely film called Licorice Pizza.
It is,
and here's my thoughts on it. Great film. I'm gonna put that out there. I loved it, but my take on it was Paul Thomas Anderson. Maybe like 2 years ago, was like, it's 2019. I wonder, or 2020, whatever year it was. I wonder if I can get away with making a movie where a 25-year-old falls in love with a 15-year-old. And you know what? The answer to that, you know what he said? He's like, yes, I can, because I'm Paul Thomas motherfucking Anderson.
PTA, baby.
And fucking teacher conference dude. Anyway, I loved it. I just like, throughout the whole thing, I'm like, ooh, this is kind of a risque topic, but. God, it was good. It was a good movie. I think one of my favorite parts was Bradley Cooper just playing that creepy hairdresser dude.
John Peters.
Like Robert, yeah, Ron Peters. Was
Ron Peters is definitely a pervert name for sure.
Yeah. I think
John Peters.
John Peters.
John Peters.
Still, any Peters.
It is great. Like, I just love the chemistry between the main character and his love interest. Alana. I can't remember what her
She's
it's
from
Alana Haim.
Yeah,
Haim,
the
from Haim.
Haim band.
The
yeah.
band Haim. Yeah. And the whole family is in the movie, apparently.
Yes, they
awesome.
Are.
The whole family is in it.
When Weird. Dad's giving her shit,
yeah,
that's Dad giving her shit. And apparently it was a request of Paul Thomas Anderson because he just, when he met with her, I guess all the family was there. And he realized that they were just, they'd be great for the film. So he's like, come on.
I love Haim. I love that band. You got Estes in it.
Yeah.
Britney's in it. I had the biggest crushes on that whole band. And they're great in it. They're like, oh, man. That casting was amazing. I can't believe that whole family is in the movie, which is great. But a couple of, it was a couple of cringe moments because there's a lot of racism in it.
Oh, fucking dump truck
load. Was it the 70s?
Okay, how about...
So much.
I watched the trailer with Zoe, and it did not show any of that. So I...
Oh, there's lots of... Like, all the guys in it I found were just, like, total pieces of shit.
Yep.
I didn't even know that it was a 25-year-old and a 15-year-old. Like, the trailer does not mention that at all.
Yeah.
Nope.
You will...
Nope.
But, like...
The trailer makes it look like a nice little romantic comedy.
It's definitely... definitely not... It is, but it's not.
Okay.
It's like, ooh, this is...
It's the summer in the 60s or 70s, Martin?
It's 70s. I think it's like 71 when there was the gas crisis, the
LA,
oil embargo.
Summer, 70s, backdrop, Hollywood, California. Like, that's what's going on. So, like, an
before
era,
disco, like, the towards the end of rock and roll.
When morals were...
Rock and roll never died, Martin.
Just ask Lester Bangs from Almost Famous. He'll tell you different.
Never dies.
No, what ends up happening is...
It's kind of like the same time frame as Almost Famous. Hey, Michael?
Yeah. Oh, super. Almost Famous is the music side of the same time as this is
the
Hollywood
dating
side.
Dating a teenager side.
Well, no, just to Martin's points, he says there's a ton of racism and a ton of dick guys. That's what the time was like,
still
sadly,
is.
Though.
Yeah, still is.
And then, like, celebrities get away with a bunch of shit. You're just like, what is going on here? Like, just free reign. The shit that, like, the cameos that are in it, like, I'm not sure if you know who's in it. Like, Bradley Cooper's in it. Sean Penn's in it.
Oh, wow.
Who else? There's another really big name.
Yeah,
actor.
There is.
Flag Days on Crave, by the
way. Ben Safdie's in it.
Yep, Ben Safdie's in it.
And it's a couple other people.
It has
remember,
a,
yeah, really good.
It has a really good story to Martin's point, but then there's this hardcore racist scene where this dude has got he's married to a Chinese lady and they own a restaurant.
Japanese, Michael.
Japanese?
Japanese.
Okay, sorry,
Japanese,
I'm wrong.
Japanese,
sorry.
Japanese.
I can't remember if it was a sushi restaurant or if it was Chinese food.
No, it was it's called Yamato or something like that. It's Japanese. Definitely Japanese.
What ends up happening is when he translates for his wife, he uses an incredibly blatant, ignorant, racist Chinese accent.
Jesus Christ.
Japanese.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That's even worse.
And you're like, what's the... Martin, were you kind of like...
He doesn't even speak Japanese. Yeah. He said, I don't even understand Japanese. He's saying it in English. And he's like, I don't even understand Japanese.
Like, I know the joke there is making fun of the idiot of the time. But it doesn't really tie into
it
the story at all.
It doesn't feel that way, does it?
It felt awkward. Me and Aaron kind of
like
looked
Paul
at each
Thomas
other.
Paul Thomas Anderson just sitting there like, yes.
How do I make people feel
I'm
awkward?
Very
this
pleased.
Is how.
Or like, Martin, what about the scene where like the picture day at school where she gets spanked?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Christ,
that was the
movie?
First part. That was the first part.
Yeah. No.
Who watches this? Who was this for?
It's about Hollywood when there was a time when no one gave a
is
shit about
it?
It's about no, having no morals. And being able to find love in this backdrop.
Fine.
You won't walk out of it feeling greasy, but you'll walk out of it being like, man, that was a greasy time.
All right.
You like them. I love the main characters. Like the leading, I can't remember what the actor's name is, but
it's Hunter.
It's Harry.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's kid.
Yeah, he's good in it, and so is Alana. The two like
Philip Jr. Hoffman.
Play really. Alana does a really good job. I didn't know she could act, but she does a really good job of playing that, like her specific character.
That's funny when I say
on screen.
Martin's right. Her first at bat, she's very very charming.
Yeah, love
Philip Senior Hoffman and Philip Jr. Hoffman.
I want to say like Bobby Hoffman. I don't know some
DJF.
I can't remember. But that's okay. Our listeners probably know.
What do you give it out of I don't know.
How many nibs?
How many nibs? 10.
I'm going to give it, I guess, 8 to 8.5 waterbeds out of 10.
I never had one, and I've never had the pleasure of using a waterbed.
When you see the movie, that's going to be even funnier.
What's it? Fat Ernie's or whatever? Big Ernie's?
Who? Okay, and now, hang on. The guy who plays the owner of the waterbed store? Don't get
it's Harvey Keitel, wasn't it?
No, I think that's Bradley Cooper's dad. It's somebody famous's dad. I know.
Okay.
I can't. Like, he did all these weird things because John Peters, back in the day, made the Barbra Streisand boxing movie.
Right.
And then failed his way up from being a hairstylist to making this movie to becoming a fucking full-fledged producer. John Peters made Batman.
Right.
And made Warner Brothers lots of money, got involved with Superman. There's the story of Kevin Smith, who had to pitch John Peters about his take on redoing Superman. And John Peters wanted polar bears and having him wrestling polar bears and a giant arachnid that he fought, which John Peters then went on to produce Wild Wild West, which ended up
having
a giant
mechanical spider.
This is the guy.
who ends up being completely insane.
Yeah, he's completely insane. He's been charged with tons of fucking devious shit in Hollywood. He's paid off women. He's got NDAs out the ass. Oh. Like, he is an old school asshole from Hollywood, and this is where
it's like a hairstylist started.
He's a fucking hairstylist.
And is this man still alive?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Jesus.
And he's got very nice hair too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're just like showing him be, and he doesn't. I guess he's like, whatever. What are they gonna do?
Well, like, when do you meet him, Martin? Don't you meet him when he's like my
wife? It's like midway through the story. Like, you meet him kind of midway through.
My wife's name, or my girlfriend's name, Streisand. Streisand.
That's such a good scene when it just they go back and forth of how to pronounce Streisand for a good like
Streisand.
4 minutes.
No.
It's awesome. It's hilarious. Yeah. Bradley Cooper does a good job of playing him, though.
He does. He does, and he's not like massive in it. But anyways, we could talk this movie to death. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, right, Martin?
Yeah, it is a Paul Thomas Anderson. Like I said, can I make a movie where a 25-year-old falls in love with a 15-year-old?
Yes, I can.
Because I am head of the PTA, baby.
The Paul Thomas Anderson fan club.
I don't know. I didn't hear him. How many? And like no.
Eight and a half. Fat Bernie's Waterbed Emporium.
Okay,
stores.
Perfect. Nice. Where does it rank for you in PTA movies now? Like, does it shoot to the top by There Will Be Blood? Is it?
There Will Be Blood is still the best one.
Yeah, okay.
I think this is up there, though. This is probably, I guess, top 3, 4, maybe.
Would your local PTA let you see this?
Hell no.
They would not play this in school.
Oh,
no. Okay. They would, maybe, like, if you were, like, in grade 8 and you had, like, you know, the
They'd
film.
Some edgy shit in grade 8. They showed us Saving Private Ryan.
I saw
it. Yeah, you know what? They might play it in grade 8, yeah. Like, if you're older, not younger. Yeah,
not
probably.
Grade 9, though. That's too far.
Yeah,
grade eight's the perfect time. It's like, well, that traumatized me.
Grade 8 above, I would say they would play this because I did see nudity in high school. I think grade 9.
Romeo and Juliet has a boob in it.
I saw
vagina nudity.
What did you watch?
1984.
Oh,
the George Orwell.
Huh.
Yeah,
I
nice.
Saw.
There was vagina nudity in that.
Nice.
You're welcome.
What? What are you gonna say? You thinking about a movie with boob in it? Are you searching Mr. Skin right now?
Diabetes.
That's my favorite part of Knocked Up when they figure out that
best.
Mr. Skin's already a website.
No, I'm just trying to remember what like graphic movie I saw in high school, and I think it was the Birth video in like family class.
We never had to do that. They never made us watch that.
No.
Okay. That's done.
Did you do that out in Selkirk?
No, I don't think that ended with a certain generation.
Like, head out, making out like
we
a baby.
We never had to watch
No,
that.
You never had to see that? Oh, man. No, that was like you'd leave class, and I think next was lunch. So you're like, oh, how do I eat my, soft
sandwich? See, they showed that to my dad when he was in school, and then he went out to get a meatball sub while I was being born.
I mean, I was fine. I was able to eat.
Did your dad actually go for a meatball sub?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
My dad went home and took a nap because the doctor was like, you don't need to be here. And most dads would be like, I need to be here for my firstborn.
Yeah.
Nope. He was like, sure, I'll go peace out while my mom's in labor. Sick.
Got a meatball sub. That's what all dads do. That's the ultimate my
most
wife is
to get
son.
A meatball sub.
Sandwich.
Flex.
Yeah.
All right.
I just need a meat sandwich right now.
Is it good meatball? Is it good meatball?
It's a good meatball. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another dosing of what you should check out. If you haven't checked it out, if you're already watching it, then that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time, as Lizzo has been saying for the last fucking 4 months on my TikTok.
Ding,
let's
ding, ding.
Debate.
At my signal, unleash hell. Push it. Don't push it. I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein, give me a fat beat to beat my buddy's ass
to. I know what kind of guy you are. I never would have agreed to work with you.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite? What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. Would you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
As mentioned this week on our debate, ladies and gentlemen, we are arguing what movie should have a sequel. in regards to I don't think we agreed. I think we just unanimously didn't pick movies that should never have sequels. Because sometimes, like, do we think Goonies deserves a sequel? Fuck no.
Probably not. No.
You know, just
well,
back to
it's
the.
It's not that it doesn't deserve one. It's that
it's good enough.
Made.
It's good.
It's good enough.
And then what you end up doing is you end up almost discrediting all of the work that went into the original.
That's right.
By trying to make money on this new thing, and then everybody doesn't give a shit anymore at all because you've pissed them off and put such a bad taste in their mouth. It didn't need to happen, right? So, in that regard, we've all picked some fairly safe movies that I don't think will like tip the scales in you know all the assholes' favors. So, as mentioned, the three things that needed to be included in today's debate were a new plot/pitch. How are you going to make it? What's it going to tell? What kind of story are we going to live through? Who the new cast is? Are you sticking with the old cast? Are you going to come up with some new ones? And lastly, a couple of reasons why it needs to be made. Does it need to be made for the people? Does it need to be made for the story? Does it need to be made for the studio because they're so fucking broke that not making original stories is not as good of an idea as making a sequel? So I'll go first. What did I pick? I picked an accidental movie.
Happy
I picked
trails,
District
Hans.
9. And there's a little bit of lore with District 9. Do you guys know the story behind how it was supposed to be Halo made and then District 9 got made instead because Halo's budget was just too big?
See, that's funny because it kind of has that same, like if I were to see a Halo movie, that's how it would look. Like same kind of
exactly.
Looking aliens, like it would be very easy. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
They were looking at doing the Halo movie, his production company. The budget got way out of hand. He still wanted to make something with Blomkamp, which I believe this is Blomkamp's like first you know, crack at the apple. And they took what they already had done for Halo and converted it into this alien story for $30 million. So the beauty of District 9 is that it's one of those media darlings that gets made for cheap and then goes on to be super successful. And I really think it needs another story because if you remember in the first one, it's all about apartheid, but from the perspective of aliens coming to the planet and something that we all understand because of, you know, the atrocities that have happened over the history of the world. So playing into that story, I thought it would be really interesting to go on but still use that story of today's way of thinking and what's going on in the world as it was done back then. So we find ourselves picking right up where we left off. The alien Christopher, if you remember.
Yeah.
Pitch it, Michael. You can see my nipple. Pitch it.
Yeah, there.
Pitch it. You don't feel pressure, but pitch it.
Okay, I can't look at that while I'm doing this. So he's been on a journey home to find the fuel and the resources that he promised Wickus when he would come back and change him back, right?
Right.
So that's kind of where we start off. Now, in the original, it's all found footage. We're going with an actual story this time. So
okay.
We're going to shoot a movie instead of make it look like we're recreating a documentary story, right? So it's 10 years later. Christopher's finally made it home to the mothership, find supplies and more fuel due to the ongoing violence back home on Earth. The mothership is full of pissed off aliens because they've heard what's happened.
Yeah.
All of their people were pushed out to these camps, right? So they're done with humankind. They've been watching, planning for revenge all these years. Christopher steals both enough fuel and supplies to get back to Earth, boost the drone ship, remember, that was left behind, but has an alien attack following him. Essentially, his people are coming to Earth to blow up the planet for what's been done. Back on Earth, Wickus is fully transformed. So now he's an alien, right? He's the black sheep, being half human, half prawn. So he has no middle ground to call home, and is well known at this point that he worked for the same company that practiced some of the darkest things to do to the aliens, right? So like he's got nowhere to go. Long story short, Christopher tells Wickus that the only way he can change him back is to get him on the mothership.
Okay.
And use the lab on the mothership. So now that we've come to this point where Wickus has to choose to either change back to a human and help humanity from this alien attack that's coming, or become a full alien and join the aliens and blow up his own planet. That's my story.
It's a real Sophie's choice.
that's a tough one.
That's a definite Sophie's choice. What child?
Can I just say this sounds like the plot to Independence Day Resurgence?
I'm not saying it isn't.
And that's what the producer with no shirt on would say to you.
Yeah, exactly. Look at my nipple, and it sounds like something
this
else.
Sounds
it totally
like Independence
yeah.
Day Resurgence. One.
I think we already did this one.
No, please stop biting.
It's super hard to stay away from any trope that's been done where you're like, I'm going to take aliens, I'm going to do a sequel. Well, what's that? They come back and attack. So like, but what I wanted to do was what the reasons the aliens came here in the first place. There's this like little nugget of the story that
that's nice of
the
you.
Aliens came here originally to share their technology. So it's all a misunderstanding, right?
Yeah.
And when they got here, the world was so scared of them that they put them in camps and marginalized them.
That's what we would do.
Like, what's what we would do? Because we're afraid, right?
That's what we do.
So now the aliens are pissed that they were like, we were trying to extend an olive branch, but instead you killed our people. So the whole
was that
thing,
the plot? Sorry, that, the, no, they were, that's I thought my... they were just. I thought there was like. I thought the plot of District 9 was like it was like a cruise ship or something.
Yeah,
like
no,
people who didn't know anything about technology, they were just like, it was just like a random freighter, and yeah, a lot of people weren't scientists; they were just civilians.
Yeah,
and that's why they didn't know how to defend themselves. So
it's
like,
it's 100% right, and that's why.
Was that the plot of District 9?
That's the plot of the first one because it read like it was a lost ship that got stranded.
Yeah,
like it wasn't military; it was like civilian for sure.
100%. So what I'm thinking
is... They just look scary.
They just look... Exactly. So when they land, they were landing because in their world, their planets have been blown up for greed and globalization. The same things that have happened on planet Earth happened in their world.
Wow.
So they got off their planet to try to find another world to share their technology. We trap them. So that was what was going on, which is why they were coming here. We're exploring that story in the sequel so that maybe humanity and alien kind can meet in the middle and be like, all right, we can live together on planet Earth now that we know. And Wickus and Christopher are the go-betweens between, they're like their UN delegates, right? Christopher's the alien delegate who's like, no, these humans are not all bad. And Wickus is the alien delegate who's like, no, we can live with you right now. I know better, right? Yeah. I'm trying to tell everybody. So that's my story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Who do you have cast in it?
Well, no, let's go around your story first, our new method. Sorry, you know how we... We'll take one topic at a time so that it's fresh for everybody.
Martin, do you want to go?
Oh, I thought we were just doing the whole thing because I was just going to be like, I was going to do the whole thing.
Yeah, no. Just spit your pitch first.
Oh, can I just do mine all together?
Sure, that's
way better.
Well, okay, you want me to do... Then I'll do mine the old way first. That's fine. I'll kill it all.
Mine just feels good all together.
Sure. No, that's fine.
We'll see about that.
Casting, it's pretty easy for me. Charlotte Coldplay is going to come back as Wickus. That's easy, right?
He's good.
He's good, right? Jason Cope is Christopher, the guy who was the motion cap for it. He's coming back, right?
Nice.
Louis Manier, who plays Plett Smith, that was his father-in-law. He's still alive. He's back, right? He's
a dick.
He's a dick, right?
In the movie.
He's a dick in the movie. Exactly.
Maybe it's a chance for him to get killed in this one.
Well, I have some ideas for him.
Spoiler alerts, Jimmy.
Yeah. It was either he saves planet Earth and then comes.
Oh, you're thinking redemption arc.
A redemption arc,
that's
right?
That's a really loser way to go with it.
I know. Now, on the other hand, though, hang on.
It's so unsatisfying. That's like Cersei Jaime death. Unsatisfying.
Just bear with me here. So because it's the future and, you know, white people in power are always corrupt, I've included James Spader in this.
Yeah. Just because white people are corrupt, I threw James Spader in.
I mean, Jimmy Spade.
So Jimmy's playing a UN leader who's hell-bent on saving the Earth and is super politically motivated, who has Vickus's father-in-law under him. So... because his father
sexually
he's a power bottom. He's moved up in the UN delegate now. He's moved away from NMU to UN.
This is starting to sound a lot more like Veep.
It's heavy political, yes. Then I've got Dane DeLego. Now I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right, but he's the guy who played the new Predator in Prey.
I just saw his name. I was like, why do I recognize that?
I want him to listen to the show. So that's why that's not why I'm picking him. I'm picking him because he was such a fucking badass alien.
Yeah.
So he's going to play the alien leader, right? We did it with motion.
Look at you go.
So I'm thinking he's great in the suit. I've seen all the behind the scenes shit on TikTok of him in the making
in the
suit and stuff. He looks so perfect. He's super tall.
Suiting up.
Right? So great alien. And then for some star power, I've got Charlize Theron. Now,
I love Charlize.
I do. But because she's also South African. So it plays into this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm from South Africa.
Bling bing, bling bang.
We all liked Chappie.
So she plays.
Get in your car and go.
She plays Christopher's alien friend.
Yeah.
And she's the science officer who's going to help change Wickus back to his.
Wait, she's alien. She's an alien, not Charlize Theron.
Is she hot though?
No, she's an alien. But
damn it. Well, sometimes aliens are sexy. They had those boots.
They did.
They had those alien boots.
Yep.
They did give some of the female aliens in District 9 some sort of figure. So maybe we can play with it.
They put makeup on them too.
They did actually. Yeah.
There you go.
They were like sex worker aliens too.
Yeah. And they kept
confusing.
And there'll be like a little joke that there's tons of cat food on the actual mothership.
They really truly
catnip. They like catnip.
Catnip. It was cat food.
Yeah,
wasn't
what
it?
They, I thought it was cat food.
Was it cat food? Oh, cat food.
Yeah.
Cat food.
Either way, there's like a storage facility on the ship full of cat food from other planets. So there's my
Purina One, baby. Purina One.
Interdimensional.
Chow.
Yeah, right. Reasons
Purina,
why.
Purina chicken noodles and rice formula.
There's our new sponsor. Reasons why. It was a stupid huge hit to begin with, right? Cheap as fuck to make. It's been asked for. There's chat rooms that are talking about it. Bloomkamp has mentioned he'd love to do a sequel to it, so it's not hard to get the whole band back together.
It'd be nice.
The topics are still relevant today. We can talk about corporate greed. We can talk about the powers that be stepping on the weak. We can have all those conversations that they did in 82 with apartheid.
I agree with you that I think it's a good time to do it.
Right? You know, in a time
of requels, sequels, and prequels. It's the right time to do it.
You can slide it in, and Blomkamp is such a good sci-fi guy. Like, it's like with his stuff on Netflix.
Jason Blomkamp.
Jason Blum, yeah. thank you. And then aliens are a hot topic right now with what's gone on with COVID and shit, when they released all those Pentagon videos, the Tic Tacs.
Aliens are real, and no one gives a shit.
Right?
No one fucking cares. The government's like, yeah, oh yeah, we don't know what these are, and we never could explain it, and we're sorry for lying. And everyone's like, okay, we forgive you.
Right? Right? Like, all of a sudden, everything we've wanted fucking confirmed.
It's real. They're real.
Is fucking real.
Mulder was right.
And Scully's
Mulder was right
hot.
All along.
He wasn't just having sex with random women for his pleasure. He was doing it for the aliens.
And
thank you, David Duchovny.
So yeah, so you've got an easy sell at the box office because aliens are hot. And I
liked the bubble.
Anything that's alien always gets me, as bad as it is, including Independence Day Resurgence.
Right. I like aliens. I like sci-fi. Yeah. So.
Right? You made a fucking alien. What was your thing? Alien Park, wasn't it?
Alien Theme Park.
Alien
or something.
Theme Park.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Watch the episode.
We're all one and done. So
50 episodes ago, somewhere there.
Boom. Done. That's me.
Stop the asking.
Yeah, I think you did a good job. I think it's the right time for it. I think you nailed it with the casting. I don't know if it should go away from the found footage style, but I'd have to see it to.
Sure. No, totally.
To have my opinion on it. But I think you nailed it with the casting for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
casting wise. Where are all the Africans?
Well, no,
that's actually
it's
a very
South
good point.
Africa.
Okay, but if you very, hang on, just, no,
you
hang
could
on.
Have had Idris Elba.
Hang on, yeah.
Why not put Idris in there?
But like, just hear me out. The story of District 9 is humanity dispelling or disparaging upon an alien species. It just so happens to be Africa, because Africa is where apartheid happened, right? So it's telling a story of what humanity would do to a species, whereas in regards to this is not happening in South Africa anymore. This is happening in space and globally on the planet.
Your excuse for not casting people of color.
No, in
space.
No, guys, listen to me. I took it out of
Michelle Nichols. We just said that.
You said that, Michael.
Guys, listen to me. I'm not saying that black people don't exist in space. I took it out of its location.
Okay.
And have included humanity as a whole. So all people are going to be involved. Like, you're going to have tons of extras and tons of different.
But not on your original pitch to the studio.
I think I can hear your bike backpedaling.
This is your original pitch to the studio. Like, you mentioned, you could have mentioned Idris Elba playing some role, and people are like, "Ooh, Idris Elba, we like him.
Sure.
We like him."
You know
him.
What? I just went with evil white guy because evil white guy is easy to cast.
Well.
Right?
The James Spader casting does work.
Like, if I went with evil black guy, the black people, like the whole story of the first one,
he doesn't have to be evil. He could be a good. He could be
sure,
a good person.
Move on.
No, I like the casting. I just that's the only thing is was missing. It was missing some. You know, that was the only thing. I do like your casting of James Spader, Charlize Theron, and then the original cast coming back, which is good. I do agree it's a nice time for sci-fi to come out. My thing is the story could use a little work. Like I said, it does sound like Independence Day.
Yeah.
Resurgence.
Oh, I will not deny
it does
that
sound like that, and I don't think Independence Day Resurgence did very well in the box office.
Did not.
I like everything else.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Good. I appreciate it. All right.
And we're just giving you a hard time for.
Oh,
for
I know.
That,
I know.
Funny.
I know. I don't. Hey, man, take my shit and run with it and make it all fucking Korean or.
It's in
Yugoslavian
space. There are no
or
black
African
people
there.
You guys don't understand.
I love how it's like we asked that. He's like, no, but you don't understand. Like, it's in space. Yeah. That's my reason why I didn't do it. It's in space.
This is past humans.
It transcends human beings.
Whenever there's a shot,
we're
of,
all red on the inside.
Whenever there's a shot of humanity, we will have lots of different cultures. Whenever there's a shot of the aliens,
this
it's
is
just
how aliens are
going to
find
yeah.
out about us. Because yeah. this is going to get broadcast out into the atmosphere. And aliens are going to listen to this.
Oh, welcome shit. To the Real Debaters version of Deep Thoughts with Deep with Michael Petro.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Who wants to go next?
Jimmy.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'll go next. Yeah. So I had a lot of trouble picking this week.
We kinda,
I was thinking
we
about doing like Road Trip or like a comedy, but I was really having some trouble. And I ended up just Googling movies that need a sequel that don't have one.
How do you think I got to where I got to?
And, of course, what was at the top but Freddy versus Jason? Now, listen, my favorite parts of this movie aren't the terrible acting and the cast that I hate so much and just aren't. Look, in the 2000s, horror movies kept doing this thing where they would make every character unlikable so you would hate them, and then when you watch them die, it wasn't that bad. But a good horror movie has likable characters, and you want to feel bad when they die. That's the whole point. So I think we ixnay all of those horrible parts that came with the first Freddy versus Jason, and we scrap that, and we take the comic book idea that was going to be the original idea, and we do Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Ooh,
I like that.
Like Ash from the Evil Dead?
That's yeah. exactly right, Martin.
Are you, nice. You got a 2-on-1 happening here, or is it a free-for-all?
I think it's a triple threat match. Now, speaking of triple threat match, one of my favorite parts of Freddy vs. Jason, they used Rey Mysterio to do a lot of Freddy's like action and fight
the
scenes.
The wrestler?
Yeah.
Really?
And you can kind of tell, because he uses a lot of flying knees and a lot of big moves like that. But my whole thing is, why not double down with that and we recast Jason, and we do maybe like Kane or the Big Show or someone who can really stand, and to, because these guys are getting old, I get that, but I think Kane has the experience too. Kane did a movie called See No Evil that was WWE produced, of course.
It was, yep.
Fantastic horror movie. So we know he has the chops to do it. He's getting a little older, so I know he can still do a lot of the standing and stoic parts that make Jason so scary. So maybe we'll bring
stoic.
In a current, more frequent WWE star, Braun Strowman, to do the more physical fight scenes that they need him to do. Because that was the best part of Freddy vs. Jason, was the action. That's what I loved so much, and that's what they nailed. And that's what I want to bring back. Now, the story, basically... Now, maybe you guys don't know, there's a comic book that already exists with this. That's how they got this idea. So I'm pretty much going to go with what they did, because they did a great job with it.
Sure.
So it takes place 5 years after Freddy vs. Jason happens, and 16 years after Army of Darkness, for context. The story begins with Will Rollins and Laurie Campbell, the protagonist from Freddy vs. Jason that end up surviving at the end of the
dock.
Returning to Crystal Lake to put closure on their experience for some reason, no one actually knows why. But Jason kills them a short while after and takes their decomposing corpse to a shack woods nearby. Jason enters a trance, and Freddy convinces Jason by becoming his mother again and saying that he needs a copy of the Necronomicon. He needs it to make himself a real boy. Jason can return to his human form is basically what Freddy tells him. And who has a copy of the Necronomicon?
Ash.
Ash does. Now, at the same time, Ash and Pablo and Kelly from Ash vs. Evil Dead TV series are now being sent to the S-Mart by Crystal Lake
Shop
to help turn it into a superstore.
Ooh! Loblaws.
So with them nearby, everything starts coming together and all hell starts to break loose, of course.
I love how you're marrying everybody into a trap.
They need to, it needs to all come together somehow. So basically that's the plot. Cast, obviously you get Bruce Campbell back. We get some WWE stars. We get your Rey Mysterios. We get your Kanes. honestly, it can be, like, as for teenagers who are just, they could just be random CW actors because they don't really matter. But we're going to make you care about them.
CW, we love you.
The fight scenes are going to be the best part, but we're going to make you care about these characters. And you already do because they're in programming that you
watch. Yeah. They're easy to get attached to.
You see them.
To.
Like,
yeah,
imagine
yeah.
if you're watching the Stranger Things kids actually getting murdered in this.
Oh.
You would care.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know.
I would care.
You'd care a little bit. People
I
would
see
care.
Wolf. I want to see Finn get it wolf hard.
People would care. But we bring on Wes Craven. He's dead. We bring on Sam Raimi. He's alive.
And new
he
Wes
is
Craven.
Alive.
And Victor Miller. He just won the rights to Jason. He won them back. They were doing a big court case. He had to fight with Sean Cunningham for him. But he got the rights back, so we might be seeing a Jason movie soon. So everything's falling back together to make this happen, and I hope they do it, and I would do it.
Question.
Yes. Yes, Martin in the back. Yes,
thank
the shirtless
you,
man
you,
in the back.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. Are you selling part of your soul to make this movie?
God,
to bring back to bring back Wes Craven.
I
yeah,
wish
what are you
I could.
What are you giving the Necronomicon in return?
My soul?
okay, yeah.
My soul. If this movie could happen, I think this is a summer blockbuster waiting to fucking happen.
Or a Halloween release. Like either or.
There hasn't been a Jason movie in 10 years. There hasn't been a new Friday movie in 10 fucking years.
There's some thirst. Yeah, I'll
I
agree
think now's
for
the
sure.
time.
And people are itching for Freddy. Robert Englund's still alive. We can still use his face and his voice for Freddy and just let Rey Mysterio do his thing in the suit.
Yeah, and it's not like horror's always, in movie terms, cheap, right? Like you don't need more than a soul to make this.
That's right. Robert Englund's still alive. He was just in Stranger Things. He can do the voice acting.
And, I mean, the only thing is...
Hit me.
Actually, I don't know what the only thing is. Like, I mean, I know my
the
horror, but I don't
there.
Know. Yeah.
Oh,
I might just be too uneducated.
The best parts of Freddy vs. Jason were the fight scenes, and we're going to bring all of that back, but better.
How are
with
we...
With a chainsaw-armed man.
What are you doing for like... Okay, here's my the only thing.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Easter eggs and whatnot? Like, nothing was mentioned, so, like, are you doing what Prey did so well, which is... pull in the things that we know? Like, what are we getting from both movies?
I don't think
movies?
I'm doing what Prey did. I think my plan is to take a movie that should have been good, Freddy vs. Jason, and fix it. I'm doing what James Gunn did with Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's bold.
That's what this is.
That's smug Hulk.
The first Suicide Squad, god fucking awful.
Yeah.
James Gunn calls it the Suicide Squad, makes it so much better. That's what I'm going to do with Freddy vs. Jason. We're going to take Freddy
the
versus
Freddy
Jason.
Vs. Jason
exactly.
versus the Ash.
We're going to put a the on it. We're going to keep the the.
Keep the the, not like
that's
Facebook.
Right. That's my plan with this.
Start the ass kissing with you.
I okay, here's my take on it. I think the idea, because I my big selling point is you got Ash in the movie.
That's what everyone
Which
wants to see
cool.
Bruce Campbell at the height
I
of his
I love
right
Bruce
now.
Campbell.
Well, he's going to Winnipeg,
but,
so we know
but
that.
But my thing was...
Love you, Bruce.
Here's my thing.
Yep.
We were just talking about Prey, mm-hmm. and I thought you were going to pitch Freddy versus Jason,
versus
the ultimate Prey. No, the ultimate Prey.
Oh.
Maybe. That's, and it would have been like, it would have been so much more... Like, I love the idea that it comes from a graphic novel, which is good, but like, I just wanted that kind of... I thought that's the idea that I thought you were going with because you just were in love with Prey. I thought that's what gave you the thing because, like,
let me change
what
it up.
Better thing to hunt?
I'll
than...
switch it up right now. I have a much better
you can't
oh, no. I was only allowed one. What if you watch this?
Let me throw you pitch number two really quick.
I'm doing that thing. I'm doing the thing.
Freddy versus Jason, but it's shot like Kenny versus Spenny. We buy them a house in Toronto. I mean, Freddy's an obvious Kenny, is he not?
Okay, yeah. First of all, totally...
Jason's your straight man, he's your Spenny.
Totally not, like, it's favored in Freddy's world. Like, Freddy's obviously Kenny.
Who could kill more teen girls at the end of the night?
Well, obviously Spenny's going to have to go to sleep at some point, so, like...
Freddy's going to fart in his face or whatever.
There's a lot, yeah.
I should have went with that one. I knew that one was going to be the better pitch.
I like that
Universal,
pitch.
Universal, if you're listening...
I
like that pitch. It's just so funny, and you can still film it as like a series, but like a reality type series.
We could make that like as a sketch, eh, Martin?
Right. It doesn't have to be a movie. Oh, it could just be a series. Like this is
sure.
a sequel. You know what I mean?
That's a good.
I like that idea. I like that idea better, and I'm not giving you points because you didn't pitch that.
I know.
First.
I should have went that way, and I think it might be one that I regret.
See the Jimmy Skinner original plot lines. That's what I want. I want like you know, but when you did like. Remember that food truck where you don't get any food? I'm just like, I don't know why, but I want it.
I want the experience.
In fairness, that was mostly Zoe's idea.
No, that's what I want, Jimmy, and I can't give you points for that one. But it's a good. I'd see this movie. I said, your movie, I'd still see it.
I get what you mean. This is just a project that I would just love to see made.
Yeah,
that's.
I'd love to see it. I like I said, Ash is like Bruce Campbell, huge selling point. So
like, and I think we're running out of years where he can still move the way that he like as a. We all saw The Irishman.
yeah.
We're running out of time.
I mean, he was pretty good in Spider-Man. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
He was very. He's still very.
He can still dodge a pizza.
Moving right. And shit. So
Papa's Pizza. just my one. Like, I love it. I'll watch it. It sounds
damn
like a
right.
lot of fucking.
I don't
fun.
Know who's not going to see this. This came out in October. Everyone would go fucking.
Totally.
See
this is a, and this is the gimmick, right? Like, it's a gimmick film. I want.
You think it's a gimmick film, but it ends up being good.
Yeah, that's.
It
the
wins
thing.
An
that
Oscar.
Similar to Prey.
The best horror film since Nosferatu, or Interview with a Vampire.
But like, I just wanted a little bit more. Like we'll have, I don't know, like maybe like Johnny Depp's character from early on will somehow make a reoccurring appearance, right? Like you, if
he's
you're
dead,
if,
Michael, accept it.
Well, in the dream world, though,
he's
right?
Dead.
Like some sort of figment. Everything can be made in a dream world. We know this. If you watch Sandman,
you can incept his consciousness.
But the point is, that's my only critique. Is
okay.
Just like give me some old with the new.
You need your Easter eggs.
I like my Easter eggs. I like knowing that I'm acknowledged when something new is made, because the first thing you made was for me. Now you're making this for you for
money.
What
if I told you it's directed by Paul Thomas Anderson?
Wow, then we'd have some big age gaps between the love and
oh, we got two marks.
All right, yeah, I regret not going with the Kenny versus Spenny approach, but we'll see what happens.
I would have for sure voted for you for the Kenny versus Spenny approach.
Damn it. I can't believe it. Because I thought, I was like, that's kind of funny. Maybe I'll go with that. But...
Oh, that was hilarious. I was like, this is going to be so funny if they did it.
So.
Yeah, I would film that. Like, if that was your pitch, I would definitely film that as like, because we didn't have to see a movie. It could be a series, right? So I would have filmed that as like a mockumentary series. Kind of like.
Could be that too. If you inserted some dark comedy into it.
Jason
like what,
says nothing.
Like what we do in the shadows kind of thing.
It would be. That's exactly
yeah,
how
exactly,
I imagine it would
exactly.
Be going.
That's what I was thinking. Exactly.
All right, Martin, close us out.
Close us out. Okay.
Trails, Hans.
Fellas. Ladies, gentlemen, listening. The year is 2023. Mel Brooks is broke because he invested in too much cryptocurrency. He needs to make some money. What's he going to do? He is finally going to release Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Finally.
Right? I've been waiting for this. So basically, think The Force Awakens.
Mail.
Think The Force Awakens, but funny. Here's my casting. You got Tom Holland as Captain Sunstrider, who's the lovable pirate.
Sure.
Right? Instead of a Winnebago, he's got like his ship is like an electric Tesla vehicle, like a minivan Tesla. That's his vehicle. You know how they had John Candy playing Barf?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now you have Shart, the oversized cat played by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Shart.
As far as the lead female, you've got Zendaya, played by Princess, or whose character is Princess Vespa III, so related to the original.
Yeah.
Vespa. You had Joan Rivers playing Dot. Instead of Dot, it's going to be Kate McKinnon. I can't remember what the name. I had a name for her, but it's going to be Kate McKinnon in the. In the robot suit, I think it was Ram. Her name was Ram.
That's like, a good name.
Yeah.
That's a great
Ram.
Name.
So yeah, you have that, and you have for the villain, obviously, in the first one you had Dark Helmet played by Rick Moranis. This one you're gonna have Adam Driver playing Dark Visor, the successor to Dark Helmet.
Dark Visor.
Not as badass because not a full helmet, but he's got a visor, so he's still.
Is it still
badass.
Big?
It's still big. It's a big visor. Big visor.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
I don't want to interrupt either, but I just want to say I would have said Visor Ren, but go on.
That's funny. Vilo?
I was going to name him Kylo Jen, because
sure.
his first name is Jen. But anyways, I like Dark, whatever. So Dark Visor is a successor to Dark Helmet, and it's Dark Helmet Dark Helmet is Dark Visor's father's, brother's, roommate's, nephew's, doctor's, neighbor.
His cousin's.
So no relation to them at all.
So what does that make us?
We're going to have Bill Pullman coming back as Lone Star. He will now play the yogurt role in the movie to train young Zendaya, who is the one who's bound with the Schwartz, who is basically his daughter or granddaughter.
Are you down with the Schwartzness?
Yeah. And then also we're going to have a Force Ghost appear, Yogurt's Force Ghost, and that's going to be reprising Mel Brooks coming back as the role as Yogurt as
well.
So here's the plot. Spaceballs is back. Bigger and bolder than ever. In the first one, they had Mega Maid. In this one, we're going to have Mega Roomba, which has the ability to just suck all planets in a solar system, not just one.
Right, it's
all
like
the resources
eater.
In the planet. It's like Unicron, but does everything. But it's a Roomba.
This sounds like and a plot of Transformers.
Instead of suck to blow, it has slurp to hurl is the settings now. And that is my movie. That's the pitch. I'm not giving too much because I want to keep some things hidden for the pitch. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it.
If you can do it in less sentences than I can, you usually get money for it.
There you go. That's my pitch. All star cast. Mel Brooks is coming back. Hasn't done a movie in years. A little bit senile. I'm worried about it might be Clint Eastwood, but I think he'll do a good job in this one.
Stop the ass kissing with you.
You want to go, Jimmy, or you want me to go first?
Jeez, good job, man. I mean, Shart, that's fucking hilarious.
That's brilliant.
Like, that's phenomenal. Like, I don't know. I think he won. I think he nailed it on that joke right there.
Well, not...
Thanks, Jimmy.
And, like, using true Star Wars tradition where he's doing a soft reboot with a fucking, like, parody movie is stupid fucking smart.
But who's not going to go see that?
Like, in my mind, I thought he was just doing a sequel to Spaceballs.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to do it in the vein
Force
of
Awakens. Yeah.
In the vein of Star Wars, and then like that's really enjoyable. Yeah.
That's how the original that's how Force Awakens was done. So I'm like, well, let's just do it like that. Like, I mean, continue it with that. Let's continue with that series. So
I love that.
And yeah,
I think you nailed it, man.
Thank you.
You picked the right movie. You picked something that people will want to see, and it's something that old people can show young people, and that young people will love.
Well, a lot of Mel Brooks fans are older, right?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people would go to older people would definitely go to see this if it's Mel Brooks. They're like, oh, we know Mel Brooks. He was one of us back in 1906.
That's very generational. Hang on here. I think something's wrong with my microphone right now.
Okay. Yeah, man. I mean, you just absolutely clobbered it out of the park this week. Like, I don't think. Yeah,
shirts off too, Jimmy. Shirts off too. That's why I can do it. I'm feeling loose.
I can't. Yeah, I don't have a single.
Yeah, when you don't wear a shirt, you do well. I think you're the Bert Kreischer of the show.
Yeah,
nipple.
I can't find one qualm. There is not one qualm.
Thank you.
With this
movie. I'm gonna be hard pressed to find that.
You got
too,
anything?
No, I.
Just for that, you guys can rock me down the red carpet when we do this movie.
Maybe only in that. There might be some harsh criticism because it's such a close thing to the original if he's doing Force Awakens, because that's what everybody gave JJ shit for, right? But
the merchandising.
Yeah, you know, you can easily get away with that and not have to put up with it if it's a likable film.
Think of those Spaceballs unicycle things that people ride now.
He's right.
So
Spaceballs OnlyFans account.
Well, we got to vote now. So let's figure this out. Cause like I obviously.
Do we have to take it to the room of silence?
No, I don't think we. Okay. I don't think we.
Martin
have to
wins.
Anymore. Yeah, Martin, you win this week. I'm okay with it.
It's just the right timing. It's everything about it, man.
I learned a lot from watching Prey. I wanted this movie to make a lot of like nods to the original. Is what I wanted.
You just got it. You absolutely nailed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I firmly agree with that too. In that, it's classic. It's funny. People are like comedies are on the rebound too. I feel, and in regards to this style of of sci-fi,
it's The Rock as a giant cat named Shart.
Really?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I can't say anything. Like it's punny. It's smart. It does exactly what the first one does without taking itself too seriously.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah, no, definitely.
MB.
I give it my
mine
vote.
Doesn't even have a director.
Yeah, I didn't even. I just. Yeah, no, I watched.
Wes Craven and Sam Raimi together.
Yeah.
from the degree.
Wes Raimi?
Wes Raimi.
It's a Wes Craven. It's a executive producer.
You know what, we're gonna let Ted Raimi take the reins.
It's a Craimi. Craimi Productions. Craimi Production.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's been a minute. Had to dust the rust off, but
and my vote will be for Charles, who is not here today.
Not even in the fucking province, actually. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna end it because obviously these technical issues are weird. We'll figure them out for the next one. So, I think I don't know, just something's going on with the background noise this week. So.
I'm sorry, it's winter outside right now where you are.
It's winter.
Yeah, we're just adding.
That sucks.
This is some ASMR for a really cold Winnipeg wind. Is what this is. This is to simulate that. So if you're in we're just trying to be as close to possible. So when you start to listen,
Martin's
to the show.
Coming next week. We're gonna do a live one with him. It's
yeah.
gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is gonna be a lot of fucking fun. And then I don't. Yeah, we won't. Maybe we won't have sound issues. Who fucking knows?
I'll be wearing a shirt.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. Nibs, Licorice Pizza's coming to town.
Yeah.
Lick Pete's.
There it is. Thank you for listening. If this is your first time, ladies and gentlemen, check out the back catalog. This is our bread and butter. This is what we love to do the most.
It's true.
Everything else
is
just for fun and for experimentation. So follow
sexual
us.
Sexual experimentation.
Follow us online. Listen to the end credit trailer if this is your first time. If it's not, you know what's there. And
yeah.
You're already listening to the show, so thank you for that. I have been Wickus Vandermeer.
Oh. the revived corpse of Wes Craven.
I have been Kylo Jen, shirt off looking shredded, just 110 pounds wet soaking out of the shower.
Kylo
Jen. Yeah, watch all the movies, kids. We're gonna go now. Say bye. Say bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Say bye, everybody.
To you, fair Spanish ladies.
And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, another Real Debaters production is in the can. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first, second, third, fifth, 20th time, thank you so much. But thank you to the first timers, the ones here who pressed play for the first time and took a gamble on us. If you like what you heard today, the easiest thing to support the show is just to subscribe. Hit the like button, the follow button, whatever's in your podcast player. Make it so that we're always there every Wednesday for you, okay? That would be huge. If you want to stay in touch with us, if you want to follow us, there's a couple ways to do that. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We're slowly migrating to YouTube by putting all of the things we've ever put on video onto that site. There's some surprises coming this year that happened a while ago, but I felt needed to be shared. Because they're part of the Debaterverse. So the YouTube page is coming. But if you want to follow us, it's at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Real Debaters Podcast on TikTok. All of the links, all of the one-click-away things are in the show notes that you've just listened to. So if you want to follow us there, that would be great, too. Because then you get to stay in the know of all the things that we do and what we're going to try to do this year and what we've done in the past, so on and so forth. Yeah, so that's how you stay in touch with us. If you want to contact us, it's therealdebaters@gmail.com. All the spelling for all these things is R-E-E-L to keep with the title of the show. So you can send an email to us there, request an episode, want to call out one of us for being a goofball. There's places to do that as well, too. Like the Real Debaters website, you can email us, or you can go straight to the website, rate us in Podchaser, therealdebaters.ca. And if you really, really liked what you heard and you want to support the show in some fashion that requires you spending money, well, we got a couple ways for you to do that as well, too. You can buy our merch at the Prop Shop. It's a store through Threadless, and it's online, and you can order stuff. We've got tons of stuff. We've got our Mass Debater wear there. It's our signature, original, and only line. It's our logo on everything. So you can support us that way. Go to the merch tab in the show notes. Or if you just got a buck and you're like, hey, I want to give you a buck and donate it to your cause, there is a tab in the show notes as well, too, that says donate to the Debaterverse, I think. And if you click on that, Well, it takes you to our donation page where you can donate like $1, $3, and $5, and you'll get something for your $1, $3, or $5. Any more than that's just ludicrous. Luda. So, yeah, that's just kind of what I wanted to tell you, that what I said at the end of the show. This is what you should listen to, because this is all about who we are. And now that we've gotten to where we are, we want to interact with you guys more. So these are the ways to do so. This is the way to stay in touch with us. Thank you to everybody again who's listened to the show. Again, you pressed play. You took a chance. That's cool. So without further ado, this is where I said I would talk more. So it's eggs on your face. No, I got nothing else for you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And watch all them fucking movies. Bye-bye.